Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Carry for Animals, number 408 shows and counting this evening. I want to welcome all you new listeners that's listening in. Hope you enjoy the show. Keep coming back. Keep spreading the word to your families, your neighbors, your co-workers, and we can always keep expanding the audience here. And that's what we need to do for the animals. And most of all, take action. And all you returning listeners, thank you for all your support and keeping these shows a total success. Because without us, the animals don't have no hope to carry on. And that we want better lives and futures for them. So this platform, you know, we speak out for all animals in need and distress. And we want to see better laws for them and contact our legislators because they are the big dogs, you know, and that call or that number, and I got it in my contacts. This is a nationwide number, and it's area code 202-224-3121, and they'll ask for your zip code, and once you call during business hours, you can connect with your state representative or state senator, and after hours and weekends, you can also leave voicemails, and you can also write them emails. Search for your state representatives or senators on the internet and put your zip code in, and you can do a direct connect with them. You can meet them in person, write them a letter, you know, get their fax number. There's so many ways that you can connect with them and get your voice out there, because all voices out there matter and all of our actions do matter. So if we do nothing, nothing changes, because changes do not happen on its own. But I just want to go over a couple things here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. And Mama Bear does care because she is on the air. And this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. Press listen live here, and it will direct you right to Blog Talk Radio. And you can always, all these shows are archived, so you can go back and listen. 24/7, 365 days a year. And you can also share at the bottom of the PPJ Gazette where you see the social media icons, or you can search Voices Caring for Animals and all the former shows will pop up. Listen which one you want to listen to. Wait a minute to download and it will play. And also on the Blog Talk Radio, either one of them, you could follow these shows and they'll alert you in your primary email, okay? And once a show's coming up, upcoming broadcast, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. So please, everyone, keep spreading the word, and let's keep going and standing and speaking up for all these animals in need, in distress. And, you know, we'll see some changes come about. But I'm going to bring my guest on, and she's been on the Marty Oakley TS Radio Network. I interviewed her back in October of 2016. And for those that don't know, Marty Oakley passed away, so sad, April the 1st of this year. And may she rest in peace. Her voice will carry on. Her shows are carrying on with the hosts she had, and they're doing shows. So we're, we're going to always keep her in our mind and thoughts. And just October, she would have been 73. But her voice, she was on the air for 13 years. And that's where Voices Carry for Animals originated from number one to 163rd show. And then March of 2018, Marty helped me get together Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. Kept the same name and just kept adding up the numbers. So may she rest in peace. And we will never, she's gone, but will never be forgotten. But I want to bring on my guest tonight, Susan Wagner. She's the president of Equine Advocates, and this show is going to be about mending the SAFE Act, H.R. 3475, and also Senate Bill 2037. And that's we're going to try to get this amended, everyone, because there's some loopholes in here. And we want to protect horses from being slaughtered for food of any kind, human and animal. But I want to bring her on board. Susan Wagner, welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals, number 408. The show you did was 111 back in October of 2016. How are you this evening? It's always
an
honor.
I'm delighted to be back, and thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you're so truly welcome, and you're always welcome back. You know, the more exposure out there, the better, and the more we can alert the audience and help the, you know, tell them to help us to get, you know, action taken, because we are strength in numbers out there. Mama Cat always tells me that. She's a big supporter of the show, and it's so true. You know, it takes an army to get this thing together and to get the changes made. But Susan, you want to go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself, the audience, how you got started, and we'll be going right into this SAFE Act, okay? Go right ahead.
Absolutely.
Live and on the air.
Well, thank you. A lot of people already know my story. I was working in the horse industry and then for a zoological institution where I rescued my first horse from slaughter back in 1993. And at that point, after having left the horse industry and not having a clue that horses were being slaughtered by the tens of thousands, because at that time it was the dirty little secret of the horse industry to do that. And so when I found out about this horse that I was working with, was going to be gotten rid of and sent to a dealer and sold for meat, I just couldn't believe it. And a friend of mine who I knew in Maryland agreed to take him if I was to rescue this horse. His name was Gandalf, because I was living in an apartment at the time and there was no way I could keep him there, of course. So I rescued this horse, and it was a life-altering experience, because after that, I decided that I wanted to use the experience I'd acquired over the years working with horses to try to end horse slaughter. So It's now been 30 years. This organization is 27 years old. And still, the mission has been to end horse slaughter. And it's been a very frustrating, long ride. And we have an opportunity now to actually get something done if we can get over the barriers that are set up right now. But I'm very optimistic because I think that we can get through them, and I think that we will be able to end horse slaughter. And I just want to say something. We're located in New York, just to let you know that Equine Advocates, you know, again, started in 1996, and in 2004 we established a horse sanctuary in Chatham, New York, and we have 80 rescued horses here. And it's always been our mission to have an end to this horrible practice once and for all. Being in New York, I am very proud that our both chambers of the New York State Legislature in June passed the first state bill that bans the slaughter of horses for human and animal consumption. That is a complete ban on horse slaughter. And I was so proud of the legislature. I was so happy with the two heads of the agriculture committees in the assembly, Donna Lupardo, in the Senate, Michelle Hinchey, for allowing that bill to come out of committee and then have it passed with its sponsors, Senator Addabbo and Assemblywoman Deborah Glick. It was amazing, and it was a moment in time because it showed that the people that were heading the agriculture committees understood that horses are not food animals. And so we passed this bill, unlike any of the other bills that have passed in other states that just addressed human consumption. But, of course, back when some of them did pass a bill just for human consumption, the issue was different. Things have evolved and things have changed. But New York is a border state. We border with Canada. And there are four horse slaughterhouses in Canada. Two of them are in Quebec and closest to the New York border. So for years, New York was known as the horse slaughter highway into Canada, with trucks coming through our state constantly from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and other places. And we are just awaiting Governor Kathy Hochul to sign this bill into law. And we're urging her to do it now. She's got up until December to do it. We put out an alert today urging everybody in the state of New York to contact her, and urging people around the country who have family and friends in New York to contact them to ask her to please pass it. Because if New York passes the bill, I believe it will have a great effect on the federal bill, the SAFE Act, that's currently in committee in Congress. And it will be an amazing achievement because New York has shown that it can be done. And if New York can do it, if the heads of the agriculture committees here can see the reason why horses who are not food animals should not be penalized and why a bill like this should be passed, then I believe that the heads of the agriculture committees in the House of Representatives and the Senate might see it the same way. Also, and not to go on, but we have two members of the House of Representatives from New York State on the House Agriculture Committees, Agriculture Committee, where this bill is at right now. And also, we have a U.S. Senator in Kirsten Gillibrand, who is also on the Agriculture Committee in the Senate. And so their constituents want this bill passed, want the SAFE Act passed to totally ban horse slaughter. And so I feel good about it, and we're supporting the SAFE Act, amend and support.
Yes, definitely. And everyone that's listening from New York, if you would go to the www.amend2023safeact.com, it'll help you to instruct you how you can help, okay, and keep spreading the word out there. And these bills, H.R. 3475 and Senate Bill 2037, is on the congress.gov site, and you can look, you know, keep track of them on there. You can register with an account on congress.gov and get alerts in your email when there is any action taken or any new co-sponsors, any changes. It's awesome. I'm connected with congress.gov. And please spread the word, because we need all of your help. And New York residents, please, you know, spread the word out there on your social media sites, you know, to get more, because we are, you know, power in numbers, strength in numbers. So the more calls the governor gets in New York and emails, the faster the changes, and we won't have to wait till December. We can have it happen ASAP, right, Susan? It takes
teamwork.
Well,
it's a matter of timing, because we've got the federal bill in committee now, and we've got the New York bill that passed through both chambers of the state legislature, just awaiting the governor's signature. So it would be historic if Governor Hochul signs this bill. It will be. I do believe she'll sign it. I hope certainly that she does. But it will be a major achievement, and certainly members of Congress will look at this because, you know, as I was mentioning before, this issue has changed a lot. Back in the 1990s, when horse slaughter was at its height, when we had 14 horse slaughterhouses operating in the United States, I think the worst year, I forget which year in the 90s it was, but it was over like 412,000 horses slaughtered, and those were all getting slaughtered for human consumption. So back then, horse slaughter for human consumption was the main issue. But today, with the provision that then Vice President Biden had helped to pass, that defunds horse meat inspectors, we're no longer slaughtering horses in the United States, but we have been sending them over the borders live into Canada and Mexico for the purpose of slaughter. However, it's no longer the business that it was. We're now slaughtering, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20,000. I think it was 20,000 last year. It stands to be even less this year. So, you know, horse slaughter has always been a shady business. It's never been legitimate. It is an underhanded, dishonest, always, you know, involving consumer fraud at the auctions, horse theft. It's just an underhanded, shady business. So right now, with the small number of horses, I mean, it's 20,000 horses too many going to slaughter, but nevertheless, it's not the hundreds of, you know, it's not the tens of thousands of horses going to slaughter as happened in years past. So it's always been a disposal bill. And when they stopped slaughtering horses for human consumption at that high rate, we're now slaughtering horses, you know, at a slower rate. But if we continue to only allow horses to be If horses can only be prohibited from being slaughtered for human consumption, something will happen to those 20,000 horses, and it could be another industry like pet food and zoo food. And the thing that I find very, very disturbing, there was a bill earlier this year in Colorado that was introduced and thankfully failed, but it called for the prohibition of Colorado horses for human consumption, but allowed for them to be slaughtered for zoo food and other secondary markets. It's in black and white. So after not having horses slaughtered here for 16 years, an entire new custom slaughter industry could get started, or maybe not call it an industry, but we want to ban horse slaughter entirely, which is why the New York bill is the gold standard for anti-horse slaughter legislation. And that's why we need it once and for all in a federal bill. Because it's, you know, for those of us who have been involved with this, for me it's been 30 years, for other people it's been 33 years. It's just gone on and on and on. And we now have an opportunity, because the SAFE Act was introduced as an amendment to the Farm Bill of 2023, which will pass this fall, And if it could just be amended to totally ban horse slaughter, this will be historic. It will be the greatest thing, the thing that we've been waiting for decades. So I feel good about it, and I'm hopeful that if the New York bill gets signed, I mean, again, I think it will be signed, but if it's signed soon, I think it will have a definite positive effect on the federal bill.
Yes, it will. That's a big positive right there. If that she signs that, and then it that'd be so wonderful. A major, massive victory, you know, when she signs it and it hits, you know, national. Susan, that would be so great. I mean, look at how many years, 33 years, 30 years. You know, it's time to stop it. And everyone out there, you know, do your part and please help out. Do, you know, spread the word. If you're in, you know, New York or whatever, please, you know, make them calls or emails. And also, you know, tell your relatives or your friends that live there. You know, spread it on social media, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and get the word out there, please, because we need to see a victory. I mean, we all want to see a victory dance. And you know who's going to especially thank us is all the wild horses out there, because their lives and futures are going to change. And I can't stand watching these helicopter roundups either, Susan. Them things, they make them, they're scared to death running and you know, it's terrible. You know,
well,
that's
I'm glad you brought up wild horses, because there are wild horses in holding. There are federal horses, at least somewhere between 80 and possibly 100,000 feral horses on tribal lands. A friend of mine, brilliant equine clinician and teacher, Anna Twinney, happened to be in Wyoming back in June, and she heard firsthand that 1,000 feral horses were gathered on the, well, gathered is a nice word, let's just say it the way it is, rounded up with helicopters on the tribal lands and taken directly to Mexico for slaughter. And then she said that Fish and Game had done the same thing with 1,000 horses. Personally, I didn't realize that Fish and Game did this. I thought it was just the BLM and the Forest Service that rounded up horses. So this is, you know, something I didn't even realize. But it doesn't matter. There are all these surplus horses around, and without sending them for human consumption, if that becomes illegal, they're going to want to find another way to dispose of them. And so inadvertently, the SAFE Act becomes a disposal bill, because you're only dealing with human consumption, and you're not ending it completely. I mean, to a horse, and we said this many times, it doesn't matter to a horse if they're eaten by a human or an animal, and it doesn't matter to a horse if they're killed and slaughtered in a commercial slaughterhouse or a custom slaughterhouse. Slaughter is slaughter. And
yes,
after all these years, we finally have to do the right thing by America's horses. And we can't have loopholes where they can get slaughtered for zoo food, pet food, and other secondary markets. You know, we just can't allow that. So that's why we're pushing so hard for this. I mean, we are dedicated to this. And, you know, maybe some people think it's easier to pass it just with human consumption, but I don't believe that. Because I think people who are going to be against it in Congress, they don't care. They're just going to oppose it. But I think people who support ending horse slaughter are not realizing, or some of them are just realizing, that the SAFE Act as currently drafted doesn't, it's only half complete. It doesn't take care of the job. So we're just asking them, you know, let's finish the job. Let's ban it once and for all.
That's right. Get rid of it totally, because, you know, hey, it's been a long fight. It's long overdue, and it's time for change for this, you know. So, Susan, are you ready to take any calls right now? It's up to you.
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. And then anybody that's listening, we got a packed house. And if you want to speak to the guest, Susan Wagner, president of Equine Advocates, the number's area code 310-982-4270. And it's the same number every Thursday. So if you want to put that in your contacts and press 1, you're in the queue, and alert me that you want to speak on air, okay? That's 310-982-4270. And you can also call in from Skype. And area code 323, you are live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for the guests? Go ahead.
Hi, Debbie. It's Debbie Coffey.
Debbie.
I wanted to first of all thank you, Deb, for the many, many years you've been doing radio shows about all animals. It's just impressive, and you're so big-hearted and generous with trying to help us save the world's animals. I just want to say a big thank you to you. People don't realize it's a lot of work trying to get guests, you know, do the show. There's a lot of work involved, and I just want to say thank you for all your work. And
hey, you're so
welcome.
Thank you for the compliment. Yep.
And I also want to thank Susan. You know, 30 years she's been doing this, 30 years. And Susan is one of the experts about horse slaughter. And I'm also just a great person. One thing I wanted to bring up about this, we talked about these secondary markets. Through Freedom of Information Act records I got a long time ago, I had been doing some research about, you know, these guys that were cloning horses and mules and everything. And what I found out later was, so when they were shipping horses to slaughter in Canada, these cloning companies would set up, you know, they had some places there near the slaughterhouse in Canada. So the mares that went to slaughter, they were getting their ovaries to make cloned horses. So here we're killing the real horses to make cloned animals. And again, that gets into like the ownership of nature and who controls it. But you know, I just think there may be big money interests behind a lot of things that people don't realize, like cloning companies, or, you know, who's going to profit from that? Who's profiting from the death of these animals? You know, so there's a lot of considerations. So I think the fact that, you know, that there's a loophole for zoo food, and also, you know, I found out that the Bureau of Land Management wanted to send our wild horses. They were entertaining a plan to send them over to Siberia to be used for a leopard, you know, reserve as food for the leopards to be attacked and killed. So there's just, just weird stuff that you wouldn't even think of. It's like a bad movie. So to have concerns, I think Susan's really smart to bring up concerns about not only for zoo food and dog food and cat food, but for the secondary, you know, other secondary uses. I think there's just, people have to realize there's probably a lot of big money interests behind this. And more than we realize. And when Susan and I first started talking about this, and I've talked to it about a few other people, one person told me, well, you know, that some people, players, I don't know who the quote-unquote players were, you know, they were doing something, you know, backroom talks or something. And one thing, you know, if somebody's not named, we don't know who these people would be, what they're bargaining for in the back rooms. You know, I care about these horses not getting slaughtered. So I think, and if you don't push for something, you don't get it. If you're going to capitulate and make too many compromises, you know, you're not going to get what you want. So I think we all have to stay strong and advocate for what we really want.
Well, you're so right, Deb, and thank you so much for calling. You know, the fact is that according to the latest poll, 83% of Americans want to see horse slaughter banned. They don't want exceptions for zoo food or any secondary markets. They just want it banned. And one of the things that I found to be extremely unfortunate, this current SAFE Act really has no resemblance to the past SAFE Acts. It's a bill that was amending a bill from 2018 introduced by Vern Buchanan of Florida called the Dog Cat Food Trade Prohibition Act of 2018 that banned the slaughter of dogs and cats for food. And so my dear friend and mentor, Kathleen Doyle, who has made history with the California Initiative back in 1998, I was in California when it passed. It was one of the great nights of my life. 60% of the California electorate voted for it. You're in California, so I'm sure you remember. She looked at that bill and thought that this was a vehicle by which to end horse slaughter. And so she, because she's very experienced at writing and reading legislation, was able to amend that bill and submitted it. And instead of having the bill written the way she had suggested, which only changed a few words, she added animal consumption along with human consumption, she added interstate commerce, and she added horse. And that bill on its own would have totally ended horse slaughter. And that's what we're trying to get now. Unfortunately, the non-legislative sponsors introduced it just to ban horses for human consumption. And as written, it's very, very effective. It's very good, but it only goes halfway. And it's just, we really have to finally do what's right for the horses. We cannot compromise on this. We can't allow for, you'd have to talk to them about it, but if there are trade-offs with the zoos or anybody else, there's just no room for that, because that's not what the American people want. Now, granted, when Kathleen spearheaded the campaign in California with the California Initiative, she didn't have to deal with all of these compromises and special interests because the people went to the polls and spoke. And if you were to take a poll across the United States and people voted, horse slaughter would have been banned many, many years ago. But because of the politics of this, because horses have always gotten the short shrift, because they've always been traded, and there have always been backdoor deals, and there's always, look at the Burns Amendment, look at the Path Forward, look at all of these things that have, it's just been a nightmare. So we have an opportunity now to do the right thing. We have the vehicle with which to do it, and I think if everybody just gets together, comes together to do the right thing, I think we can do it.
Teamwork.
Well, I know Deb's going to help get the word out. Thank you, Deb.
Yes, I am. I'm going to do some posts up there, Susan, for the governor of New York, and also to help out with this amending the SAFE Act. Okay, so you got my support all the way. How's that? This is we call teamwork. That's where we aim for the victories. Okay, you got my support all the way. And Debbie, thank you for calling in.
Sure. Thank you, Deb.
I was just going to say that back in 2006, the closest we ever got to banning horse slaughter was with the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. It passed in the House but was blocked in the Senate. And, after that, SAFE Act after SAFE Act after SAFE Act and other bills, none of them ever came close to passing. So, pardon me. I think we have an opportunity now with this vehicle in the farm bill. And so I'm hopeful that with what happened in New York, that other members of Congress will see that this is no longer, we're not talking about big money here. We're talking about, the 15 to 20,000 horses. It's not worth having horse slaughter anymore. It's time has come. The time is now. Let's ban it.
That's right. Let's do away with it, because it's been so long and it's time. Time is long overdue for horse slaughter from all angles.
But Deb, I will say this because I've said it before. The beauty of the bill, the dog-cat bill, is that it put dogs, cats, and horses in the same category of animals that we do not eat here, but are eaten in other countries. It is as much a cultural issue as it is a humane issue. So if this bill had been called what it, I believe, should have been called, the Dog, Cat, Horse Meat Prohibition, Trade Prohibition Act of 2023, it would tell people exactly what it is. But I think most Americans agree that we don't breed horses for food, we don't breed dogs and cats for food, therefore we need to ban the slaughter of horses for any food.
That's right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm standing with you all the way. You know, so, and we got some more callers. Deb, you can stay on air, okay? And I wanted Deb, I wanted to say Debbie Coffey was a former host for Marty Oakley back, you know, years ago, Wild Horse and Burro Radio. And she has some great shows going, Deb. You was great hosts and great guests, and you're a great team player. We work together hard and can help each other share the shows, and I wanted to give you a big shout-out on air for that. Thank you so much,
no,
okay?
Thank you.
Yes, and area code 702. We got some more callers waiting. Please be patient. I'll get you on air. Do you have any comments or questions for the guest, Susan Wagner, president of Equine Advocates? Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Oh, hello, Susan. And first, though, I mean, I know this is irrelevant to the topic, but rest in peace, Lolita, the killer whale who was held captive. And rest in peace to her. And perhaps another time you could talk about Lolita. Another time, another place, but as an animal rights activist, though, I oppose the slaughterhouse and the tax dollars, especially the tax dollars that goes there. You know, I didn't have a say on whether I agree upon to pay it or not. And as a registered voter, I hope in the future we have that option. That's all I have to say for now.
Yeah, but thank you for calling in. That's my Facebook friend, Harolyn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Love all your support. You know,
thank you for all your help and everything.
Yeah, sharing of the shows and all that, and appreciate it and calling in. Because all of our voices matter, everyone. You know, so never, you know, shy away or don't think it, your voice matters, or and your actions matter too. So, you know, whatever you can do to help out, every effort counts. And that's what matters out there. So keep spreading the word. And thank you. Thank you, Facebook friend.
You're welcome.
You're
thanks,
awesome.
Thanks. Glad to help. Glad to network
yes.
for you.
Okay. And we got a, and thanks for calling in. And area code 954. You're going to be live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for the guest, Susan Wagner? Go right ahead.
Hi, I think you're referring to me. Hi, Susan. This is Mary Jo Hoffman. We spoke a couple weeks ago. I live in South Florida, not far from Nadine.
Yes.
Yes. I'm wondering what mechanism do you think the changes can be made? Because the people that are, you know, want the this bill passed in the Farm Bill are saying that, yes, it's an issue about the exception for animal consumption, but that can be taken care of in committee. But my understanding is right now, Vern Buchanan doesn't want to hear any changes at this point, which is why, you know, these other people are saying, well, it's going to be dealt with in committee.
Well, it is in committee now. It is in committee now.
I think when it's, you know, when if it, it, I mean, obviously it's got to pass in the Senate, it's got to pass in the House, and then it goes to a committee to get it coordinated. It's not the word I want, but anyways.
You mean a conference committee.
Conference committee. So what?
Yes.
I'm not sure what it is you're asking for right now.
Well, amendments can be added now, and certainly there are members on the Agriculture Committee who can submit amendments. So we have, you know, in, my congressman, I don't know that he will do this, but our congressman from this district is on the Agriculture Committee. And, you know, he's somebody who could potentially do it. And the sponsors can certainly do it. I mean, it's happening now. You know, the procedures
But my thought is that if Vern Buchanan is against it, I don't know why, then how is it going to get past him?
I haven't heard that about Vern Buchanan. I don't know why he would object to it, particularly since, you know, he passed such a wonderful bill for dogs and cats. I don't see why he would object to it, but, you know, I'll have to look into it. This is the first that I'm hearing he's objecting to it.
I know the folks like in AWE have been trying to reach out to you, because I think the most important thing is to have a united front. Mm-hmm. And so my concern is that we're not all on the same page. And I think you have a really valid point. Are you amenable to talking to them, or?
Well, I think our views are right out on the table, and certainly if New York can do it and if the heads of the agriculture committees in this state can do it, then it's not impossible to do it on a federal level. And I'm all for passing the SAFE Act with amendments, with this amendment. You know, I am completely behind it. We're not trying to oppose it because we feel that now is the time. It's the opportune time to get this done. So I think, it's not going to be a good thing if you get half of what is supposed to pass passed, and then you still have horse slaughter going on. That is not going to be good progress. It just isn't. So I think while we have the opportunity, if everybody gets behind a strong anti-horse slaughter bill, then we've got a shot.
One other question.
Go ahead. This was Debbie Coffey, and I was just going to hop in, but go ahead.
Let me just ask Susan about this. I was reading just today about this. USDA announces funding availability to expand meat and poultry processing opportunities for underserved producers and tribal communities. Now, my understanding is that there's a lot of concern about horses that are on tribal land, not that the BLM, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, the BLM is not responsible for those horses. It's the tribes.
Mm-hmm. Tribal land
and also,
is different than federal land, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. The concern I hear is that because of this bill, which was a part of the one of the big bills, the agriculture bills that was passed during this administration, that tribes are going to be interested in having processing plants for feral, what they call feral horses, which I call wild horses. And the concern is that they will, but now I don't know if they are slaughtered. Does the USDA still have to inspect that, or are the tribes exempt from USDA inspection of horse meat for human consumption?
My understanding is that tribes have to adhere to federal and tribal law, but not state. So if we don't have a federal bill banning the slaughter of horses for human and animal consumption, then they would be able to slaughter horses in custom slaughterhouses. And also, you don't necessarily have to have inspections. So it would be, I guess, it would be separate from the USDA. And there are a lot of horses on those tribal lands, and they have expressed expressed their tremendous desire to get rid of them. And they are getting rid of them as we speak. But there's a lot of horses there. And my understanding is also that they have a lot of bison that they want to put out on that land. So I think they will get rid of those horses one way or another. They're getting rid of them now by sending them to Mexico. But if that ends, and we hope that it does, then unless we have a bill that protects them. I mean, humane euthanasia is, you know,
it's
the last resort, but that's a kind way to put animals down. And I think it shouldn't allow for a way for people who are callous and irresponsible to get rid of their horses without a thought. So we just need to put an end to that. And when that happens, you'll see less indiscriminate breeding. But we need to do that. And there are a lot of horses on the tribal lands right now, and they are getting rid of them now. But we shouldn't have to have another slaughter business starting up in the United States after we get rid of the slaughter to send horses into Mexico and Canada. We shouldn't be bringing it back to U.S. soil.
I know. I totally agree. But my concern is, having listened to this other group, they keep saying the same thing. I mean, I can't get through to them either. But they keep saying the same thing, that according to the bill, the only thing that the tribes want is the ability to slaughter an occasional coyote for religious reasons.
That has nothing to do with this. That's a ridiculous argument. I mean, and it doesn't even make any sense. The fact is that we don't actually know how this will manifest itself. We just know that there are surplus horses, and they are going to die. And most likely they are going to be slaughtered. And if they're not going to be slaughtered for human consumption, they're going to be slaughtered for zoo food or secondary markets. And we can't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so concerned. I really wish we could all get together on this, and because we want the same thing, but there's so many different factions.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest frustration.
Yeah. Mary Jo, this is Debbie Coffey again, and I'd like to hop in here. You know, Deb Dahmer's done a great job having a lot of different, you know, not only wild horse and burro advocacy groups, but a lot of different groups on her radio. Let me finish making my point, please. So anyhow, I think, you know, the SAFE Act has been talked about a lot on Deb's show, only show that's been specifically trying to warn people or at least bring up the issue of the loopholes. And, I just think people need to listen to what the concern Susan has. Even if
I do, too.
I think so too.
That's why it's so frustrating to me that this other group will not listen, they're very dismissive. And also there's another group, Oregon Wild Horse Organization, that has your point, too.
One thing I want to bring up real quick, you know, you never know what organizations are getting money from what groups and what ties are behind a lot of things. And, you know, I think we've all seen a lot of lobbying and things go on. And my big question, if we just do this half of a SAFE Act now, how many more years and how many more horses would die before we could possibly, you know, get the rest of this done?
Debbie, you're preaching to the choir. My issue is trying to convince these other people, and it's a losing situation. So I've taken up too much time, so thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for bringing up those issues.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that issue. We got another caller here, area code 918. We got a packed house, everyone. So if you're wanting to call in, 310-982-4270, press 1, you'll be in the queue. And just be patient. I'll get you on air because we've got like 10 minutes up. Area code 918, you're live and on the air. If you have any comments or questions for Susan, go right ahead. Thanks for calling in. Can you hear me? Hello?
Are you saying area code 918?
Yes, ma'am. Right there.
Yes,
live
I do have something to say. My name is Kathleen Doyle, and I've been following this issue relatively closely for the last 33 years. And there are no fractions as long as the intent, the unified, cohesive intent, is to stop all horse slaughter. We are all together, and we are powerful, and we can get this done. But we are not going to kowtow to any groups that are willing to trade off horses for human consumption, and then legalize and give zoos the right to custom slaughter, custom exempt slaughter that doesn't require USDA inspection for animal food and zoo food. No. There is no problem. There is no argument as long as everybody is on board to prohibit all horse slaughter. And you know from the Colorado bill that the sponsors wrote, promoted, worked, that allowed the trade-off for live export for human consumption to be able to slaughter within a state, custom exempt at the zoos for zoo food. So we know what they're capable of. We know, as the saying when I spoke to them, well, not everybody is against all horse slaughter the way you are. Some horse slaughter can be acceptable. Oh, no, it cannot. And so as long as everybody's on board for doing the right thing but the horse, there are no problems. And we are mighty. But that's where you got to just find out where you stand on the issue that a little bit of slaughter is not okay. And as some of the lobbyists said about these groups that supported the Colorado bill, and we're actually even promoting to accept the Native Tribes Amendment, which gave them a complete carve-out and exemption to go ahead and slaughter on the reservations, is some people don't know there is a bottom to which you can no longer compromise. So it is no animal food, no zoo food, no disposal, no human consumption. We stop. After 33 years, the slaughter of these horses, they have no production base in our country. They are not food animals. They're taxed as the dog and cat as a luxury animal. They are not raised for food. They are not served food. Nobody eats them. It's in our culture and country, they are a favored non-food livestock and part of agriculture. And we do not slaughter them. So there is no problem. And you say, get the groups together. That group is together as long as the group is against horse slaughter and not doing any trade-off deals. That's it, in a nutshell.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. I mean, Kathleen Doyle is, as I said, my mentor. She's done so much for horses. And I want to say something about her. She is authentic. She never had ulterior motives. She was not looking to strengthen her brand. She was not looking to take backroom deals. When she passed the California initiative, it was all voluntarily, all volunteer work. Nobody made any money on this. You know, she approached it from a whole different direction as opposed to when you look at some of the big groups, the welfare groups. Let me be candid. We have been failing and flailing for decades because we never had a bill that could pass. We had standalone bills that never had a shot. You know, we did it the first time, got close in 2006 with the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. That failed, and then bill after bill after bill, nothing ever happened. And now, finally, we have a vehicle where it could happen. And, yes, we should all get together and finally make it happen. But we can't do the job halfway. We have to do it completely.
Correct. And there has to be an understanding that everybody is aware of what the Western states have wanted to do since COVID, which is to bypass the USDA federal and have all of that, all of their meat inspections and you know, markets and interstate and commerce and transfer, all of that turned over to the states. If we get a good piece of federal legislation that is more stringent, the horses are covered for the ages. They're covered for the ages for human consumption. They're covered for the ages for disposal, for zoo food, for pet food, for native tribe disposal, all of it, as long as the federal bill is complete and full protection. The states can pass whatever they want, bounce it back to the states. It won't matter because the federal bill will supersede because it is more stringent, and that's why we have to get the federal bill in shape.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, Kathleen.
That's it, Kathleen, and thank you for calling in. This, you know, it's been another great show here this evening at Rockin' the Airways, and we're going to keep doing it. And Susan, we're coming down to like 4 minutes. Can you give your website out, please, and your Facebook page and the where they can, you know, the listeners can help with amending the 2023 SAFE Act? Go right ahead.
Well, sure, we're Equine Advocates. Equineadvocates.org is our website, and on the homepage it'll say Amend the SAFE Act. There is a web page there that was created for everybody to use. It doesn't favor any organization. It's not a fundraising page. It's for anybody to take that link and post it on your own personal pages, websites, Facebook pages, no matter what. It has information. It has how to contact the names of the members of both the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. It has a lot of information to tell you what this issue is, telling it like it is, and what people can do. And feel free to take it and post it. And I think if we can get the truth out there, we can get this bill passed.
And just message, the united message, no slaughter, no slaughter, complete bill.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's right, Kathleen. And we're down to a couple minutes here, everyone. I wanted to thank Debbie Coffey for calling in. Harolyn, my Facebook friend, for all her continuous support. Mary down in South Florida, thank you for calling in. It's been another great show. Kathleen Doyle, thank you for participating. I had some other callers waiting in the queue, and I'm sorry I didn't get to you, but we will be having more shows for the Wild Horses and Burros, and then we'll never stop here. Susan, I want to really thank you for coming on air tonight, and a great outstanding interview and all, very so informative and educational. And please give her your support on Equine Advocates, and they're also on Twitter, so check them out. And you're on Instagram too, Susan. Yes, you are. Okay, great. So Instagram, and didn't you say TikTok also? Okay, great.
But we want to stay in touch so that we can keep people posted about any progress here, because it's a critical moment in time.
Yes, it is.
History.
It's very.
And we need everybody's participation. We need everybody to become proactive, because this is our time. And
that's
so
right.
This is the time, and if everybody became, there is no stopping us. There is no stopping it. So just everybody fight, distribute, get up, work, do something as if the horses' lives depend on it, because they do.
Right. Yep. Fight for what is right, okay? Don't be silent, because nothing will change. Next week will be Gentle Giants Elephant Stay Home Project. Welcome to back Diana Munez and Colby Steiner. Next Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, everyone. All shows are recorded live, and you can go back and listen to them anytime. 408 shows this evening, and can't thank all you enough, because this is making a total success, all these shows. But all the listeners, a couple listeners I didn't get to, please be, hope you keep listening in and you let your voice be heard, because all of our voices do matter, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope everyone out there takes action, shares. And Susan, you're always welcome back, and I'll be having you back, okay? So we'll be in contact, and I'll be helping share a lot of your stuff to take action, okay? In order to see change, you've got to take action, everyone. No question asked. Good night, and everyone have a peaceful and nice evening, and may God bless you all. Good night. Paul in hand.
Good night.
United we stand. Against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.